This is WLMU, Harrogate, Tennessee, broadcasting at 91.3 FM, streaming worldwide, 913thegap.com. And you can follow the radio station on Twitter if you like, and that's going to be at 913thegap. We're the Tri-State Paranormal Investigators. This is going to be the Paranormal Experience. It's Thursday night. What are you shaking your head about, Chris?
No internet connection.
It's the phone. That's what it is. Anyway, as you have heard, we're the Tri-State Paranormal Investigators. With me, as always, is the lovely Chris, and we have John in with us tonight. How you doing, John?
Doing pretty good, man.
Great. And I'm Neil. So, speaking of the Twitter, it's kind of weird, but Chris sent me a message, and it didn't come up to her name and asking for the Twitter account and password, and I didn't send it, obviously, because I didn't recognize the number. And then she comes to tell me it was her. So we have one as well, and we'll get that taken care of probably tonight. But that's going to be at Tri-State Spirits. That's what that is, to follow us. If you'd like, you can have, if you have any questions or comments, you can go to us on our Facebook page. It's going to be www.facebook.com/ Tri-State Para. That's one word. You can send us an email. We get a lot of emails. I mean, daily we scan so many emails, but you can do so at tristate_paranormal@yahoo.com. Or you can give us a call in here in the radio, and that's going to be 423-869-6331. One more time, it's going to be 423-869-6331. So, excuse me about that. It's still, the allergies have still got me, but and garden gnomes, they got me as well tonight. But inside joke. Anyway, Chris is like, it wasn't funny.
It'll definitely be a good show tonight because there's definitely something dead going on around here.
Anyway, we've got a very special show tonight. We have William Tribble. He's been a friend of our friend of the show and us for a long time. We've had the show going on 2 years now, and he's been a very active participant with questions and comments and answering some things as well for us. And he is a poet, and he's in Budapest, Hungary. He's going to Skype in tonight and share one of his poems. And probably after the first break, we'll take a break about 8:15, 8:20 or so, and then we'll have him call in afterwards. But it's an absolutely, like, well, amazing story behind this poem, and the poem itself was just beautifully written. I mean, he does a great job at what he does, and it's amazing. I just can't get over it now. The backstory, I've actually heard several different variations of it myself. One, John, being a Kentucky fan, was about eight offer up as well.
Oh,
and
really?
And hopefully he can share that. He can shed the light on that as well. But yeah, there was one variation of the story that involved eight offer up as well. And eight offer up, for those who don't know, is the very, very well known Kentucky basketball coach from 40s, 50s, 60s, I believe, was that what it was?
Yeah, 49 through 53 had NCAA Final Four. I mean, well, champion.
Yeah.
Champion.
He's a legend here. But yeah, we're going to have him call in. But anyway, I called into the Lunch Bunch today, man. They do a really good job. I was actually driving today for my work, and I was going somewhere, and I happened to turn it over and listen to it on 91.3 FM, and called in, and I reminded everybody on here, and AP and all of them, they were very generous and letting me come on during their show and over the phone and talk with it about the show tonight. So it's going to be a very, very fun and very, very interesting show tonight. So what's been going on, Chris? I mean, other than phone problems.
I've been sick for 3 days.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, I think it's sinuses, though.
Oh, that's no good. John, what about you, man? What's been going on with you?
I'm starting a new job and taking care of an old truck I bought for next to nothing. I think Rufus might like it.
When you told me what it was, I was like, well, Rufus will try to steal it from you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been a little on the dead side.
Oh, geez. I don't even know where even to go from here. But, some of the strange stuff in the news. Chris was telling me before the show that the bombings that happened in Boston, the guy who survived is, I guess he's telling everything. But I hate that that happened, and prayers go out to them. But Chris was telling me that the reason why they let the guy go that they hijacked the SUV from was because he was an American. Is that right, Chris?
Was not an American.
That's unbelievable.
I also heard, too, they done a second interrogation on him, and they did say he told them that the guy that they stole the SUV or whatever, they had plans to go to New York City to bomb Times Square.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But they were slightly broke and robbed that store and got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It wasn't very smart after all.
Just don't understand. What do you know?
And you know what gets me? They said that the whole family came here from Russia and they were on government assistance.
That's sad right there. It really is. It just shows. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about, you know, government assistance, because I'm sure there's people out there that need it. You know,
a lot of people need it, but I think the Americans need it first.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, why was the reasoning for them to get that? I mean, why do they say?
I have no clue.
I thought the brother's mom was a lawyer.
Well, they came over here apparently because they said that they feared for their lives over there. But yet, they turned right around and went, the parents, right back to Russia. So what changed that all of a sudden they're not afraid for their lives over there?
And try to blow us up.
Yeah.
Did they say that it was a larger sale that they were involved in, or was it just those two?
I don't think they can prove anything like that yet. They are looking for a man, though.
Well, the older brother, the one that got killed first in the shootout way before they caught the little boy, and the 19-year-old boy was... They had his website on his Facebook. He had some kind of Al-Qaeda thing going on with somebody.
But they think that maybe he just tuned in on his own. But the uncles are saying that there is a man that was kind of tutoring him. And they're trying to find him if he exists.
Mm. That's unbelievable. I just can't get over this. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
It takes
we're so far
a coward
from it. Yeah.
To plant a bomb and run. Especially to kill little kids and innocent people.
And, you know, we're in Kentucky. Well, we're in Tennessee, technically, now. Yeah. I mean, we're from all three states, and I live in Kentucky. John's in Virginia, and Chris is in Tennessee. But, I mean, it's amazing that Boston is so far from here. But it still affects everybody. I mean, as a whole, it really
does.
And I didn't even want to bring it up, you know, because it's like, it seems like everybody has been talking about it, you know. But
we're on Facebook. You know.
And it seems like it's been, you know, just... drug through the dirt so many times, you know, and stuff.
Well,
but it's just a major thing.
I just have to say that they were cowards.
They really were. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I don't know.
100%.
Who knows? But anyway, you know, I was reading an article earlier, and I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not, but they've quote-unquote, they call it this. It's the quote-unquote gate to hell. Did you guys hear about this? It was in Italy.
Mm-mm.
No, Turkey. I'm sorry.
Uh-uh.
It was in Turkey. Well, basically what it is it's known as Pluto's Gate. So it's been around a long time. And something's, I mean, I can look into it here again in a minute and find out. But I was just speed reading through it, you know, because some of the more interesting things in the news. And like unbelievably hot gas spews from this cave always. And no one can go near it or around it or anything. And that's why they say it's the gate to hell. Which is pretty neat, and like I said, they call it Pluto's Gate. It's in the southwestern Turkey, and evidently some Italian archaeologists found this because they haven't found it in such a long time. It's been there, but it was actually in the Greco-Roman stories and stuff, which is very neat. And I'm thinking about doing a show just on that itself in the near future, but I just wanted to touch on it tonight. It's just amazing, some of the stuff. I mean, it's that people knew about in the past, and they've been lost either through, to quote Lord of the Rings, you know, myth becomes legend, you know, legend, or whatever it goes. I can't remember how it goes exactly, but, you know, it's been forgotten about and finally found again. It's just amazing to me. It absolutely is. But
just wonder how they stumble upon it again.
It actually says in the article, I'm sort of like gazing through it now, too. Here's one thing. It says this space is full of vapor, so misty and dense that it can scarcely see it. See the ground. That's how bad it is. Any animal that passes inside meets its instant death.
Whoa,
that's crazy. I mean, it's amazing to me. And I'm really thinking about doing that. One of the guys said he actually, I don't know why he did this, but I mean, we live in a coal mining place, you know, and a lot of people mine coal here, and they've used birds and canaries and whatnot, you know, to see, and they put them down there with them in case gas bubbles, you know, went or whatever, because, you know, the bird's upper respiratory system is so, you know, like, acute that it picks up anything, he'll die, obviously, but it saves lives. But one of these archaeologists said that, this is quoted, that I threw a sparrow in, and then immediately breathed their last, and it fell. It breathed its last breath and then fell. Wow. That's how quick it was.
It's instant.
It's amazing. I mean, like I said, it goes on into basically about what it is. And I'm going to, you know, read about it, and I think we should do a complete show about it. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but... You know what's been, like, raising a lot of, like, stink for us? Well, not really stink. that's a bad word to say. I guess you could say it for that. But what, it's actually the pictures that we talked about last week from Josh. His wife took the picture. I mean, a lot of people are just amazed by that picture.
It's a wild-looking picture. It really is. It's
This is the first time you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
I thought this was the first time you've seen it. What did you think when you first seen it? I mean, John's one of the guys that looks for, you know, if he goes on our investigations, he's one of the people that go through the photos. So he's really good at looking at this. You know, he looks at it, and as soon as he's seen the picture, he goes, I see something right there, and then I showed him the blow-up picture. What did you think when you first seen this?
It blew me away at first. I didn't know whether it was an old man or like a small little creature-like thing. It was wild-looking. Took me back for a second when I looked at it.
Chris, what was you telling me that you were talking to some of the family members? What was said?
Apparently, their grandfather passed away, and they seem to think that maybe that's him, like a guardian angel watching over his grandson that was in the accident.
Well, that's neat. Mm-hmm. I mean, who did you talk to about that?
Actually, the boy's sister was telling my daughter that. And she actually thanked me on Facebook for sending the picture to him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. I don't know what it is. I really can't say what it is for sure. I can't. I don't know. I know, and there's been a lot of speculations, of course, but there's nothing ground and solid that we can say what it is. But, I mean, like I said, it's very amazing, and if anybody's, you know, curious about it, they can find it on our Facebook. I've got the long picture of it. I've got a blown-up picture. Then I have a picture that was used, that I used some of our equipment on that isolates a lot of things, you know, the greenery and the woods and whatnot, you know. So it's just amazing. So
what's really good about it, too, it's like in the daytime. I mean, you can really see it really clear. I mean, it's not really transparent. That's what's crazy about it. It's like somebody actually standing there. It's an amazing picture.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just, if you want to, go ahead and talk. I actually got a message here, I believe, and I'm trying to find it, and the computer is slow.
Well,
or something.
I think that no matter what it is, if it gives a family comfort, then that's fine.
Absolutely.
So, everybody, that's like telling a story. And going around a circle.
Right.
You know, and each time it's told, it's different. Everybody sees different things in the picture.
When I first seen it, when I first laid my eyes on it, it looked like an old man. It really did. You could see the gray in his beard and all that. It's an amazing picture.
Yeah.
I see this standing there with his arms down, looking straight ahead.
Well, when I first saw it, I thought maybe it looked like a lady back in the 1800s with a long dress on. But... You know, and then when I got home and I looked on the computer screen, then it looked different than it did on the phone.
Oh, yeah. It's totally different. Yes. You know, I mean, the computer screens is just, I mean, it's just
you could see it better. Easier, yeah. Yes.
I mean, you can look at it on the phone, but, I mean, if you have one of the smartphones, like, you know, I got an iPhone, Chris has an iPhone, but at the time she had smartphone or, you know, a cheap smartphone. And I could see it really good on my iPhone. And a lot of people seen it really good, you know, that had the really big smartphones, like the Droids, the DNAs, and all that, you know, so they could see it really well.
Right.
Actually, this message is from Amos Janeway. He's listening tonight. Thanks for listening. He says, this was about the bombing. Says, what about the Saudis that were originally blamed for the bombings? And within hours, they retracted the statement, and the guy was on a plane back in Saudi Arabia. That's actually a pretty good question there. I have not heard that. I did not hear that. I didn't know that was going on, so I appreciate that. And then he goes on to talk about that, the gate to hell. It says, about the gateway to hell, the gas that is coming up from the ground is highly concentrated methane, so much so that the oxygen within 10 feet of the entrance is pushed completely out. So thank you for that, Amos, and thanks for listening tonight. So,
I know him, Amos. Yeah, I used to work with him at the call center.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yep. Well, that's good.
Good guy.
Well, with that, let's go ahead and take us a break. so I can go ahead and get through this and try to see what's going on with the computer. It's slow. I don't know what's going on with it.
I told you there was something going on.
Yeah, there is something going on. I'm sorry for even doubting you. But anyway, let's go ahead and take us a break. We'll be right back here just in a moment. This is the Paranormal Experience on 91.3 The Gap. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to Paranormal Experience on 91.3 The Gap. Sorry for the long pause. We're having a lot of technical difficulties. We actually went ahead and had William call in, so he's on the hold right now. But just because of the technical difficulties, I don't know what else we can do about it. We'll probably go ahead and work with William and let him talk a little bit to us, and then we may go ahead and close it out because of these difficulties. But let me see if I can bring him on the phone here real quick. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Hey, William, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, very well. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. How are you?
Pretty well. I heard Chris say when you started, she was a little under the weather, and I've had a little bit of the same, so.
Oh, okay.
But otherwise, all is good, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell us a little bit about yourself, William. You, like I said, you've been a friend of ours for as long as we've had the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your writing and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I'm from Kentucky. I grew up near the place, Bergen in Harrodsburg. I spent a lot of my youth there where the poem, where the story comes from, that the poem is about, that you guys are playing today. And my family comes from Middlesboro originally, one generation removed. My grandparents still live there, or did, you know, so I spent a lot of time there. And let's see, as a writer, I'm a poet, and I write poetry. I've been in a lot of magazines, no books out yet. But I plan to this year. I'm coming back to America. I've been in Budapest for 4.5 years now.
Okay.
Europe, totally 4.5 years now. And I'm having one last hurrah. I'm going to Denmark and Sweden and coming back, yeah.
Sounds like
great.
Fun.
Yeah, hey, well, when you come back, let us know. We'll have you come in the studio and you can talk again. How's that?
Very cool. Yeah, I'd love it. I've been listening to you guys, like you said, since the beginning, and I think it's great because since I left America, you know, and I was overseas so long, I started looking at where I came from more than I had when I lived there, you know, and studying history and everything, things going on in the past and the present, and that's when I came across you guys, and I thought it was great, you know.
Yeah. I actually lived in Harrodsburg for about 3 years.
Did you?
Yes.
It's a good town, and I grew. Let's see, when was I there? I guess the 80s, 90s, early 90s, and I moved to Frankfurt, I guess when I was about 18, so I spent my formative years, let's say, in Harrodsburg.
I think it's probably in the 90s when I lived there.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Very cool. And I went to all the schools. I was in Bergen for elementary, and I went to Harrodsburg and Mercer County for high school.
Okay, William, well, how about sharing this tale with us? Tell us the story of this. Like I said, I was talking with John earlier and throughout the day that I've heard several different variations of this as well. The one I heard was about Adolf Rupp as well. But if you don't mind, could you go ahead and tell us the story?
Sure. Well, like you say, there's a few stories, and they're all conjecture. They're all even the Rupp story is always followed with undocumented or unproven that
right.
It happened. But his story, I think his is the most interesting because he, 60 years after the fact, was the one who claimed to have solved it. You see, the girl, whoever she was, because it's still a matter of conjecture, like I say, there's people that will argue four or five different points to the story, but she signed in at well, first of all, she was at the, well, let's see, first of all, Dr. Graham, Christopher Columbus Graham, was a very famous man in his day, but lost the time. He was like he was like a little bit of everything. He was in all the wars of his day. He lived to be 101. And he was an early archaeologist. He dug at Boone County for mammoths in the mid-1800s for a museum in Louisville, which was, you know, it's pretty early for that kind of thing, that kind of thought.
Right.
And he was involved in health. And like Kellogg, he was like a precursor to Kellogg, or maybe at around the same time Kellogg started that. But he opened the Health Spring Hotel in Harrodsburg, which is now, I think, called Young's Park. And the buildings are all gone. And the only thing that's left is this young girl's grave and you know, a park. But anyway, he built the hotel, and it was a health resort. And people came from all over the world and country to drink the mineral water. And then later it was the Harrodsburg Hotel, I think. And that's when the girl came. And Rupp's story says that a man came to him, and this is 60 years after the fact, but said he had a wife who danced herself to death in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. And his name was Adams, and he came from Laurel County.
Okay.
Yes. And other stories, she signed her name William Virginia Stafford, which was the daughter of a judge, or claiming to be a daughter of a judge in Louisville. But this man had no daughter named Virginia, and he was a well-documented person, obviously, being a judge.
So no one knew who this lady was, right?
Exactly. And it was a big story of its day. You know, it was one of those... That everybody knew, everybody had heard. And like you were talking about, Ralph, he was once supposedly salt. He was a prominent person, and he supposedly solved it by his story about Mr. Adams,
right?
And saying he had a wife that danced herself to death. And let's see, I'm trying to think of the, they said her maiden name was Molly Black, and that she came from Laurel County. And that's really all of it. I mean, she's been called other things, other names.
Right.
Okay. Some say her last name was Sewell, which is also connected to the Laurel County story that supposedly comes from Rupp.
I see, right.
Okay. But in the end, it's a big mystery. Still to this day, she's buried as unknown, and no one has challenged it to, you know, to finalize it. There's no definitive proof.
Right, okay.
To any of the tales. And well, basically, she came there, she showed up at one night, and she signed in, and she danced. She said she was waiting for someone. And she danced, and she died in a young man's arms, and the people didn't have a clue what to do, so they buried her and marked the grave.
Wow. Well, I was reading, actually, everybody who's listening to this, they can go to YouTube, and they can actually see it in real time. Well, not really real time, but they can watch it for themselves. I'm sorry?
The video I made.
Yes.
Right.
You can search it. You can put in Will Tribb. I think that's... Is that right? Is that what you go by on there?
That's my YouTube channel's name is Will Tribb, and the videos, they're on YouTube. There are a few other places on other channels. I'm very Googleable.
Okay. Let me try to read some of this without trying to slaughter it too much, but this was on the caption below your video. It says, on an unspecified date in the late 1800s, a young woman checked into the Harrodsburg Springs Hotel in a small town of Kentucky. She used the false name Virginia Stafford, daughter of a prominent judge, as you were saying, in Louisville, Kentucky, and no one knew her true identity. They recalled that she was quite beautiful. That night, as music played in the ballroom, the girl came downstairs and began dancing with various partners. The young men of the town eagerly lined up to have a chance to dance with her. The girl danced passionately, and at the end of the night, her final partner realized, that, to his horror, that the young girl had literally died in his arms. The shocked staff and guests held a funeral for the mysterious girl, and she was buried in the hotel's property. The hotel is gone now. It burned down in the 50s. More than 50 years ago, that's what it was, so it was probably the 60s.
Right.
Let's see. Although the grave remains in, although the grave remains are in now what is a public park, as you said, there's a metal marker over her resting place that reads "unknown." This is quote unquote unknown. Hallowed the husband, hallowed and hushed, be the place of the dead. Step softly, bow head. Many claim the girl still returns to the site in a hotel. She has been seen lingering in the moonlight, slowly dancing and twirling to the music that she can only hear. Still recalling the night from so long ago. And as you said, you know, it goes on to describe where Harrodsburg is, you know, a little south west of Lexington. Right. And then it talks about actually, well, what I was talking about, the Adolph Rupp version of it, where he supposedly finished that. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and play this and let everybody listen to it, okay? So bear with me just a second. Here we go. This is going to be The Ghost of Graham Springs, and this is read by Gary Burbank. Would you like to tell anybody about who Gary Burbank is?
Oh, wow. Well, Gary is a very talented radio personality. He's I guess, regional for the most part in Kentucky, Cincinnati, areas, Tennessee, and he was the voice. He's known, I guess, best as for his voice characterizations.
Mm-hmm.
And Earl Pitts. He did Earl Pitts on, and his most syndicated radio voice. I don't know what you call it, but it's the most syndicated ever.
Right.
And last year he was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame with Howard Stern.
Very nice. So here it is, William S. Tribble's The Ghost of Graham Springs, read by Gary Burbank.
Hallowed and hushed be the place of the dead. Step softly, bow head. The grave of a girl whose name is not there, of beauty bold and flaxen hair, who came but briefly, she stayed to dance. Maybe by reason, maybe by chance. In haunted meadow, what is her name? On the gentle breeze, blowing, settling the grain. Harmonic concerto, her song in the rain. A grave for a girl. What is her name? Young lass lost, and the lumbering ages.
I absolutely love that. It is so great.
Gary is brilliant. He did that so well. I can never read the poems I write as well as some of the people that I've been able to work with so far.
Oh,
and I think it's wonderful because people can the poem resonates better. You know, someone so talented.
Wow, that's
it's
so beautiful, and you are very talented, William. You really are, and that poem is just amazing. Yeah,
really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you have any plans for the future? As in, where we could obviously, you said you're going to come back to the States. Is there any place that you may be reading some of your poems that people can come and check out, or maybe some we do have? I'm guessing. Several thousand listeners in Europe as well. So, I mean, if you'd want, you can, say what's going on there as well for you.
Well, as far as here goes, in the immediate future, I'll be in Sweden and Denmark in June. And then, like I said, I'm coming back to the States. I've missed out on so many opportunities just since the new year, and I'm hoping to travel and do readings and anything else I can do. And I missed the Sea Time on the Cumberland this year.
Yeah,
I was invited to read there. I had a piece out in Pine Mountain Sand and Gravel, which had something to do with Apple Shop and of course the Sea Time on the Cumberland. But I missed it, of course, because I'm here. So I'm really looking forward to getting back. I'm always connected to Kentucky, and I always spend a lot of time there. So
wonderful. Well, actually, like I said a moment ago, when you come back, let us know. We'll absolutely have you in the studio.
Sure,
definitely. would like to have, when a book comes out, an autographed copy.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yes. I'm so excited. I've been trying very hard to get a book out, but I've wanted to do something locally, like as in the Appalachian region, and I haven't just wanted to rush into publishing it, because I have a collection that is Appalachian inspired, I guess you'd say. And so I'm looking forward to that, because I'm hoping it'll be easier from when I get back to the States, and I can actually go and visit and meet the people instead of traveling from the internet.
Right.
And, long distance and all.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you this as well. In college, I had a class called Appalachian Literature. And my teacher would absolutely love to have you in there as well, I am sure. I could talk with her as well, and you could read for the class.
I count myself as Appalachian, and on my Poets and Writers, poetsandwriters.org made a page for me with some of the publications I've been in, and there's a part of it that asks you I don't know what to call it, but one of the answers was Appalachian, and I count myself as that, if that's a thing.
Very great. That's amazing.
But about the poem, the Ghost of Graham Springs, there are many people that have written about that, and like you read from the descriptor on the video, I took that, most of that, from the Find a Grave online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the generic story. That's the one you'll find it over and over and over again. It's been re-put and rewrote and restated, and it pretty much sums it all up, right? But there are a lot of articles out there, and a lot of stuff about Christopher Columbus Graham, who started the Springs.
Very nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's a Kentucky mystery, right?
Exactly. It really is. So when you come back to the States, are you planning to go back to Europe as well, or are you going to stay here in the States?
I don't know. Honestly, I hope to stay for a while. At least a couple of years.
Right. Well, reason I was asking is, do we have a place with you if we come to Europe and investigate?
Sure. Oh, yeah. This probably isn't the best country unless you could really do your research. Mm-hmm. But of course, Germany and Austria is right next door. And here, I was interested in such things. And when I got here, I asked everybody about myths and, you know, ghost stories. And the standard story you get is, we don't believe in that.
Right.
Like, just totally. They just do not have it, right?
You could always be an honorary member.
Right?
Absolutely.
But now, if you go further east and you go into Romania, of course, everybody knows.
Yes.
The mythology there is amazing. They still have vampire issues pop up.
Oh, do they now?
Yes. Yes.
Love that. Love
not,
that.
Not so long ago, some guy staked his brother-in-law.
Oh, geez.
Oh, he was dead. But it made the news because, they staked him.
Well, I do know that in that area, they used to stake their loved ones while in the casket already passed away, just to make sure.
Yeah, and that still comes up. It really does.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Well, William, we're probably going to go ahead and cut on out, but we do appreciate you calling tonight, and we do look forward to having you when you come in the States. Just let us know when you're here, and we will have you in the studio.
Sure. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And it's always a pleasure, man. I love your guys.
Thank you very much. William, thanks again for calling, and like I said, anybody wants to follow him, you can do. He's very Googleable, as he said.
I'm very Googleable. and I'm on the Facebook and most other social sites, Twitter, all that, you know.
Awesome.
William S. Travell.
I'd hate to see what would come up if somebody Googled me.
It truly was a great honor to hear from a great poet.
Absolutely.
It's an honor. It's great to be called a great poet.
You truly are.
All right.
Makes me blessed, you know.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate you again, okay?
All right. And thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. We'll see you next time.
Right. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Wow. I seriously, I love, absolutely love
that poem.
It was really nice.
I like that.
Yeah, and I know it's very late for him being in Hungary or Budapest, so, I mean, I know that he's kind of late up to do this just to be on here, and I'm absolutely, we're going to have him on when he comes back into the States. So. But, yeah, we're having a lot of technical difficulties. I'm glad we got through that with William. And like I said, you know, you guys can, you know, Google him, and you can find anything and everything about him. And like I said, he's a really great guy. He's been, you know, a friend of ours for a long, long time, and we appreciate that. But with that, we're going to try to get on out of here before anything, before this board blows up. But anyway, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We want to thank William for calling in. This has been the Paranormal Experience here on 91.3 The Gap. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday from 8 until 9 or 8 until 10, depending on what we have in and who we have, what we have going on. So, like I said, thanks again for listening. And remember, if it's out there, we'll find it.